Welcome to the Ortho Eval Pal podcast, where we can help you build confidence with your orthopedic evaluation and management skills. We hope you enjoy the show. And now, for your host, Paul Marquis.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 332 of the Ortho Eval Pal podcast. I am your host, Paul Marquis. Today, we're going to be talking about open kinetic chain knee extension after ACL reconstruction. We'll be discussing what happens to the ACL after surgery. We'll go over anterior tibial translation during open kinetic chain knee extension, rehab considerations after ACL reconstruction, and so much more. But before we get started, I want to talk about Tread Labs. They're an innovative over-the-counter insole brand that's a great alternative to custom orthotics. These insoles come in four arch heights for a customized fit and can also be fitted with adjustable metatarsal pads. I consistently recommend them to my patients because I use them myself and so does my family. Tread Labs also recently launched a sandal line that has the same arch support technology as their orthotics built right into the footbed. Email hello@treadlabs.com and mention me to get free samples. Hey everyone, I hope all is well. We are in northern Maine right now, third week of March, and we have 20 inches of snow coming today, so it's going to be quite a little storm, something that's a little later in the season than we wanted. We had such a light winter this year, it's kind of odd for us to see the snow come back, but hey, you know what, it's northern Maine, and we kind of expect that anyways. So I want to start by saying that this episode is a great example of how you're going to need to consider both evidence and experience to maximize outcomes after ACL reconstruction. I know I've gone through this before in my podcasts, and I do like to look at the evidence. I'm not great at, jotting every single thing down that comes out of a research paper. I get frustrated reading them sometimes because I find that through experience, it's all coming back around. So the things we used to do that people didn't think was correct sometimes is just starting to come back in the research, saying that, yeah, we should do this or we should do that, or we should approach patients with more psychology and not just physical treatment. And it's something we've been doing for many years, but it's also something you learn through experience, and you find what works for you and you continue doing that. So I do use a little bit of both, but I am going to talk to you about how kind of experience, maybe trumped the evidence for a little bit, and we'll go from there. So, about 30 years ago, we did a lot of open chain knee extensions for ACL reconstruction patients. I mean, a lot. Where I'm from, we see a lot of the sports medicine cases, and just saw tons of ACL rehab patients. And we had awesome outcomes. Everybody had patella tendon bone grafts. We gained full knee extension quickly. We had very little patellofemoral dysfunction. We put patients back to work and sports, at 9 to 12 months when insurance has allowed us to do that. And there were very little, if any, re-tears. It was incredible. The outcomes were awesome. And then things kind of changed. Some research came out showing that there was an increased strain to the repaired ACL with heavy open chain knee extension exercises. Now, we have to remember that when you're having ACL surgery, especially if you're having a bone patella tendon bone procedure, they cut that graft out of the anterior part of your knee. It's hanging out in the operating room with no blood flow attached to it. So you need to remember that. It's going to take some time after they put that in place and they stabilize it, they close you up, and it's going to take some time before you start to develop some good circulation to that ACL. And so it'll actually get weaker and weaker and weaker to a point where it starts to get more blood flow and then start to become stronger and stronger and stronger with the proper nutrients and proper strengthening and activities and whatnot. And some of the in vitro studies do show ACL strain, especially from 40 to 0 degrees of open chain knee extension. You also have to remember that when the quads are maximally contracting, the hamstrings are maximally relaxing, okay? So aka reciprocal inhibition. You remember we learned this in PNF. And if the hamstrings are maximally relaxing, they're not doing a great job at preventing anterior tibial translation. So it's important that you remember that that may be one of the reasons why you have this anterior tibial translation. So everyone essentially at one point stopped doing open chain knee extension exercises, and or they modified them from 90 degrees to 40 degrees and worked in that range a little bit. But we started to see some difficulty maintaining full knee extension both actively and passively. We noticed a significant increase in patellofemoral discomfort, and patients were having, you know, difficulty with squatting, stairs, those types of things. And they had just this real long struggle with regaining good quad sets, good lower extremity function, and proprioception in the long run. Luckily, you know, experience told us that we needed to continue with the open kinetic chain knee extension, and we were trying to weigh out, you know, the pros and the cons, but we were just not seeing patients who had unstable knees even after we pushed them really hard into open kinetic chain knee extension. So it may be happening, but it may be minimal. I think that the loss of the quad is much more detrimental down the road than a slight strain to the ACL. I mean, nobody's ever ruptured their ACL doing open chain knee extension. So now the research is going back to saying we need open kinetic chain knee extension. And so remember, when performing closed chain knee extension, so like doing some sort of a squat or a leg press of some sort, there are great opportunities here for patients to cheat and not activate their quads as well. And I've actually seen people, and I put a biofeedback machine on a lady's quad one time, right on the VMO, while doing a lateral step down, and she couldn't activate the quad while doing a lateral step down. She was doing a great job utilizing her hamstrings and her glutes to extend that femur, and was able to perform the activity, and it really did not look all that compensated, but she did a great job at, you know, working around the quad and around some patellofemoral pain. So it's important that you get full extension early, you get it passively, you follow that up with getting it actively, and I'll probably be talking pretty soon and making a video about all the different ways that you can get better knee extension. Decrease swelling, okay, because if you decrease that swelling, the intra-articular effusion, you bring down that distension of the capsule, which means that the quad's going to start to fire better. So the sooner you can get rid of that swelling, the better the quad will fire up and start to do its thing. So I like to start open chain knee extension early. I now do it with blood flow restriction training. It's like a no-brainer. Start with really lightweight, high reps, and we'll still get these great effects and get some hypertrophy. And with that, you know, open chain knee extension, it's really the only way to not cheat and get that quad fired up really well. And so once you get that great extension actively and passively, typically your patients will progress nicely. So combine this with some early controlled leg presses with your foot in the proper placement to make sure that you get good quadricep hamstring co-contraction, and your ACL patients will do great. In my opinion, your first 4 weeks are the most important. If you haven't achieved full extension after week one to week two, you're going to start to have some issues down the road. Okay, so it's really important that you try to passively get them and actively get them to full extension early on. But if you can do that by 2 to 4 weeks, their gait is going to come along nicely. They're going to be able to turn that quad on nicely. And then you just start to progress from there. And that is a whole 8-hour presentation in itself on how to do that correctly. So I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope that it brought to you a little, you know, idea of what experience can do and how it can be helpful, but you should still look at the evidence and utilize them together to make the best decision for your patient. But we learn from our mistakes, and I did have somebody ask me recently, you know, why are you so busy? Why do people travel 2, 3, and 4 hours to come see you for therapy? And it's really, I attribute it to good mentorship when I was younger, and learning from my mistakes really quickly, and taking that turning that around, doing some research, and putting it back into the patient so that we could get them better faster and with better results and with a lot more confidence. And I think the patient sees that, and they're more apt to follow your lead when you have that. So I hope that that was helpful. I'd also like to ask a huge favor to you folks. If you can head over to Apple Podcasts, leave a rating and review about the podcast. It really helps the show get recognized. And I'll be updating my website soon, so I'd like to put some new updated testimonials on there. Although I'm probably going to keep the old ones up there because it's so nice to see and hear. And it really helps the visitors to the site determine if the podcast is worth listening to and if it aligns with their interest. Because oftentimes you may start a podcast and the title might sound great, but if it doesn't align with your philosophy or maybe what you're doing, you may not be interested in it. You'll cut out quickly. So oftentimes these reviews really help people determine if they're going to listen or not. So thanks again for your help. Be kind to each other and take care.
We hope you've enjoyed the show. For some more awesome content, go to orthoevalpal.com. Can't wait to see you there.